Frank had hated him. Sandy hated him and thought he should be fired at once. Jane said nothing. Ovitz was used to Eisner's complaints about Katzenberg, but he was taken aback by the vehemence of Eisner's feelings on this occasion. As he had in the past, Ovitz argued against it. Whatever Eisner's feelings about Katzenberg, it made no sense to remove him so soon after Frank's death. There was already enough turmoil and uncertainty at Disney. But Ovitz left, feeling he'd failed to persuade him. By the next morning, Eisner had reconsidered yet again. He called Katzenberg into his office and was conciliatory. He said he was sorry the subject of naming him president had come up. "I'm not going to address it again for weeks," he said.
"Address it whenever you like," Katzenberg replied.
"Weeks, months." Eisner concluded that Katzenberg was in a good mood and called Ovitz to report that a crisis had been averted. The following Monday, April 4th, nearly 5,000 people gathered on the Disney lot for Wells' memorial service. A choir from the First African American Methodist Church sang gospel hymns. Wells had become involved with the church while helping organize Disney's relief efforts in the wake of the 1992 riots in South Central Los Angeles. Speakers included Clint Eastwood, who'd been on the ski trip with Wells when he was killed, actor Robert Redford, and Bob Daley, chairman of Warner Brothers and a close friend from their days together at Warner. Daley compared Wells to Clark Kent, a tall, unassuming man with glasses, but a Superman underneath. Then Eisner came to the podium. "More than anyone I have ever met, Frank was willing to embrace the most creative and theatrical ideas," he said. "Sleep was Frank's enemy. Frank thought that it kept him from performing flat out 100% of the time. There was always one more meeting he wanted to have. Sleep, he thought, kept him from getting things done. He fought it constantly, but sleep, Frank's enemy, finally won." Perhaps unwittingly, Eisner stressed in his remarks how important it was to him that Wells had never tried to steal the spotlight or challenge his primacy. He was a man unfettered by jealousy, competition, or personal ambition. His personal agenda was the company's agenda. Every minute of every business day, Frank was out for the interests of the Walt Disney Company. He was a man who held a moral compass that was always true. The last speaker was Wells' son, Bryant, a handsome, aspiring actor. Bryant was haunted by the fact that he and his father had an often stormy relationship and had argued just before Wells left for the ski trip. "Dad," he said, "I wish we had more time. You are my hero." Wells' funeral and memorial did nothing to dispel Eisner's preoccupation, if not obsession, with Katzenberg. Less than 2 weeks later, on April 16, 1994, Eisner confided his feelings about Wells' death and his dealings with Katzenberg in another lengthy letter to Irwin Russell. "Dear Irwin, I wanted to memorialize my lunch with Jeffrey if for no other reason than to vent my anger and frustration. I am angry because one day after Frank's death, he had the bad taste and audacity to demand Frank's responsibilities and title, or else he, Jeffrey, would leave the company. I am frustrated because his stupidity and lack of insights further convinces me he is either stupid, badly advised with the likes of a David Geffen,